99.3 Nigeria Info. My name is Wemimo Adewuni on the last lap of the Money Crossfire. As you know, campaigns have begun towards next year's elections, and there is a rallying by political parties to get your vote, because that singular vote is the most important thing. Your vote is your right. We've got here in the studio with me a member of the team of the All Progressives Congress, championing the campaign team for the Tinubu Shettima candidacy next year. Mrs. Olu Arowolo Vahian is here with me. She's an energy expert. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Yes. So for the next hour, we'll take a look at APC's manifesto, and she'll tell you why you should vote the APC. She's here to actually convince you, and as I say in debate, to convince and not to confuse you. If you've got questions, head over quickly to our live feed on Facebook and YouTube. It's Nigeria Info 99.3. WhatsApp is 08095975805. If you're on Twitter, use the hashtag Nigeria Info MCF. Now, as we started last week looking at manifestos of various parties as they let them out, a manifesto is a published declaration of intentions and motives. Now, it's usually a set of policies that a candidate or a party believe that they stand for and they would want to implement if given a chance to govern. It's a promise, like I love to tell you, it's a promise, and it's an implied contract between the people, the political party, and the candidate presented by the party to the voters, for which the votes of the electorate are sourced. Now, on 28th of September, INEC announced that the official campaign season commencement, and since then, manifestos, policy documents have been flying about. The APC has an 80-page manifesto that was presented to the public just recently. And we'll be looking at this, particularly with my guests in the studio here today. So let's start off by me asking you, first of all, why is the APC the party of choice to vote for in 2023? If you're going to say the first thing in summary to convince the listeners to say, give us your vote.
I would say execution capacity and demonstrated track record of delivery. That's why you would choose that. That's what differentiates this particular candidates from the rest of the group. And I think when we talk about track record of delivery, nobody understands or has articulated some of the policies that you would like to see to move Nigeria forward. So, for example, one of the major points in that manifesto is the ambition to grow the GDP by double digits. And at the same time, the candidate has stated his minimum acceptable GDP growth rate is 6%. And that's intentional, because if our population growth rate is around 3%, you need to double that, your GDP growth rate, in order to continue to create opportunities for more and more Nigerians and move people out of poverty. So it's a pro-business, pro-poor agenda. I think the other reason that you would want to vote for them is the major issue of insecurity. They've articulated a very detailed plan around how they would create an enabling environment, not only with regards to general insecurity in the country, but with particular issues around infrastructure and crude theft in the oil and gas sector, which is a catalytic sector for the rest of the country.
We have 1 hour to pick this one after the other. Now, let me set this conversation in motion a bit faster. Now, the AC on the 22nd of October, quoting Bola Ahmed Tinubu, said, I quote, "I seek to become the next president of Nigeria because I know the way. My experience and past performance assure that it will be through collective effort and national endeavor that we'll join hands, cross divide, and achieve our vision." In another tweet, he said, "We must produce and buy what we make in Nigeria. We seek a consumer credit revolution, working in concert with the banking industry led by the CBN." It also says that the standard of living shall rise and the strength of the business sector shall increase. That was when he was speaking to the business community. Correct. Now, this 80-page document is Start Renewed Hope 2023, Action Plan for a Better Nigeria. Many people say it looks like a copy of the 1993 manifesto. I know that the APC has tried to address that. But do you think there's a link between Renewed Hope 2023 and the much-touted Hope 1993?
I can speak to the Forward movement. I can't speak to, I mean, I think it is, you know, whether you're in opposition or, you know, or if you're an editor, I think it's your job to, you know, pick apart different things. I can speak to the substance of the issues and whether or not they will, you know, having experience in the energy sector for over two decades, whether or not this is what investors want to see. So that they can take positions, invest in Nigeria, and help have the economy grow.
Great. Now, let's look at the issues of national security. Let's start from there. Security is a very big issue in Nigeria.
Correct. It is.
That's been, I mean, it's front burner, right?
Correct.
And it's one also one of the things that President Muhammadu Buhari, I mean, campaigned on, dealing with the issue of security. So what's going to change in the instance that the Tinubu Shettima candidacy gets elected next year?
So I think what will change is just further implementation and expansion and improvement on what has already been done. And that's outlined in the manifesto. So expansion of your physical and digital infrastructure when it comes to the security apparatus, growing the human capital. And so that you have, you know, better intelligence and you have aerial and just much more investments, expansion and improvement of the existing infrastructure. The VP cited, you know, that our numbers are not, if you look at the percentage of our GDP that we spend on security and you look at the kilometer, the physical space that we actually need to cover, we need to grow that if we want to actually have significant and significant outcomes when it comes to security. So there, you know, is everything to recruiting more, moving police out of VIP security to actually doing their jobs in, you know, securing life and property, because that's part of how you create an enabling environment for business, right? If you can't secure property, you can secure life, then it's easier to attract human capital and easier to attract capital as well into the sector, into different sectors, not just the energy sector.
That's great to know. Now, moving on to energy, I know you are all hyped about the energy sector, and energy, like you'd also agree, for business and for economy is also a very integral part.
Correct.
Right? Nigeria's energy sector is not doing very well. I mean, we've made several attempts to generate more, to transmit more. We keep failing. I mean, we keep having the national grid collapse. You know, energy is just not where it should be, both for small, medium enterprises and even big organizations. Energy is a very big part. Let me start by asking you, what problems have you identified that need to be urgently resolved?
Okay, so I'll take the totality of energy, which is from oil and gas upstream all the way to power, which is what you're talking about. So let's start with power, which is where you start, because that's front of mind for most Nigerians. That's
absolutely
where that's where they feel energy more.
The
key issue there is underinvestment. So let's take the installed capacity is close to 16 gigawatts, but our transmission capacity is much closer to 5 gigawatts. So you have invested and built three times the amount of your generating capacity, but you are not able to transmit it because you haven't invested in that infrastructure. And why are you not be able to invest in it, right? You've already privatized the generating element of your power sector. You've privatized the distribution element of the sector. But there's still you know, a lot of regulation. The places, the sector is still quite overregulated, and the tariff that needs to be collected. So you need to charge customers an amount that allows the distribution company make the investments that it needs to make, so that it can reduce its own commercial and technical losses and collection losses. You need to, that amount also needs to be able to pay for the transmission company's costs and its own investments. That amount needs to pay for the generating company's costs and its own investments, and then it needs to pay for the person who has provided the primary source of energy, whether that's hydro, solar, or gas. That tariff is not sufficient. So that's going to be the first piece, so the first cause of action for this government, for the incoming administration of Tinubu Shettima, to address that problem. That if you have sufficient, so that the energy sector charges a tariff, that the power sector charges a tariff that is reflective of the true cost of all the participants in that sector, so you can improve the liquidity in that sector. That's the only way to attract cash.
Does this mean, for better understanding, that would Nigerians would be paying a higher rate for electricity?
My sister, we already pay a higher rate, right? If you generate, if you are not connected to the grid or you don't have reliability, grid reliability, you're paying 2-3 times more than you pay Eco Disco, Ikeja Disco. We are already paying more. So the capacity to pay, especially for those who are connected to the grid, is much higher because we're doing so with much more expensive fuels and much more inefficient ways of generating our power, which is the way you and I do it, which is our diesel generators, our petrol generators. They're much more expensive. If you did the calculation of how much you're paying per kilowatt hour for diesel, you'll realize that you would rather have a functioning distribution company so you don't have to deal with all of the procurement of diesel, the stealing of your diesel, and all of, and more importantly, the damage and the destroying of the environment and climate and contribution to climate change that comes from that.
Right. Now let's talk about the other part of energy. Let's talk gas.
Yes.
One would assume that, I mean, for Nigeria, for the kind of gas that we generate, you know, we've had conversations here on radio about how we could even harness gas to improve our electricity, right? Instead of flaring it. And apparently, the law has it's just a slap on the wrist, you know, for companies that flare this. If you would agree with me, and we could actually harness this. What would be the plan of the Tinubu Shettima team in this regard?
So Nigeria, you're right, we have significant gas resources. We own 10% of the, you know, we're the 10th largest gas reserves holder, proved reserves holder in the world. We don't consume as much as we should be, right? We, especially in the domestic market and in the power sector, although gas is about 80% of the installed generating capacity that I told you about earlier. So it's there, it's installed, we can't evacuate it. So that's the different problem that we've just talked about. When it comes to the issue you're talking about, flares, I know that this is top of mind for a lot of Nigerians, but we are not actually doing too badly because we've actually harnessed a lot of that gas fluid, a lot of those flares for export. That's how NLNG came to be. We've reduced those numbers significantly and we could do more. So you have the Nigerian gas and the energy transition plan that Nigeria just launched. And prior to that, there is a Nigeria gas flares commercialization program that the NUPRC has relaunched recently that seeks to find ways to commercialize those volumes that are being flared for different reasons. You're right. The penalties are there. Are they being enforced? Not really, because it's difficult. I mean, what are the ways? I mean, we've talked about that again in different ways, in ways that this candidate will differentiate himself from others. That you can't have laws that are not going to be enforced; otherwise, they don't achieve the outcomes that you've set out to achieve. So you will do that, but you also need to incentivize commercialization of those gas flares. You're dealing with a wider issue in, you know, how difficult of an operating environment that those places are, where those glass areas need to be honest. So the wider issues around what we've talked about, the insecurity, the crew theft, because usually these gas flares come with associated gas. So making sure that is a stable, conducive environment to operate. And then you can start to figure out ways to incentivize investments, make sure the gas prices are commercial and that the off-takers are willing to pay commercial gas prices that allow investors to make investments in the commercialization of those flares.
All right. So you mentioned briefly where I'm going next, and that's crude oil theft. Is it that one?
Yes.
That one?
That one.
I mean, a lot of Nigerians would agree that there's a lot of racketeering going on here, because in some of the places that were recently discovered, the theft was going on right under the noses of security, at least not far away from that place. So that appears there might be a deliberate attempt to allow these things to go on. We've got massive amount of oil being stolen out of our waters, and you just be amazed at, with the amount of investment put in this and how important it is also for us in Nigeria. So for the Tinubu Shettima team, what would be done differently? I mean, in terms of both moving us away from being too oil dependent, because I mean, every nation is moving fast from this, and also to focus on reducing the theft, of the oil that we have that we should be selling.
No, thanks for saying that. And you're right. It is a critical issue and needs to be addressed urgently. And the Tinubu Shettima team have already outlined some of the issues. They're all very tied to the wider national security problems.
Right.
So making sure, like I said, you invest in the digital infrastructure that's required, the physical infrastructure that is required, because some of those assets are old. And also making sure that you have better intelligence, and you equip, and you know, there's definitely to your point around seems to be happening under the noses of people. There's a hearts and mind campaign as well that needs to occur here to make sure that people feel invested in the whole and not just the self. So, and whether you're, you know, part of the security forces or in those communities, or whether you are an investor, that you look out for the whole of Nigeria, not just yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's that plan has already been outlined. I think a few other things that we talked about on Tuesday as well was really around making sure that you reinvest, that we, once you secure that environment and you make sure that it's attractive, then people will make, will start to make investments in rebuilding the infrastructure that needs to be in place to stop the degradation and the crew theft. But you first need to implement that. Another thing that the Tinubu Shettima team have already pointed out is the need to implement the host community fund, because you need much needed development that needs to occur in some of these communities. And so once people are productively engaged in different aspects of the economy and start to diversify and build wider capabilities outside of oil and gas,
mm-hmm.
And have higher incomes, it's much more difficult to engage such people or recruit such people to crew theft.
Mm.
So that those are some of the points, that some of the ways that they want to deal with it. In terms of an energy transition, which is what you were alluding to earlier, that a few producing countries are moving away.
Right.
That's the narrative the press would like us to believe.
You don't believe it?
The truth is fossil fuels constitute close to 80% of our energy consumption globally. So we are transitioning in the power sector, which is not the energy sector. It is the power sector is a part of the energy sector. There are many other ways, whether you're talking about petrochemicals, most of the things that we're looking at here in the studio are made from derivatives of oil and gas.
Right.
So we will continue, as long as we need materials, we're going to continue to use petrochemicals. We're going to use petrochemicals, and then we're going to use, that means we're going to be using oil and gas. The point you made earlier about how to do so sustainably is mm-hmm. critical, which is making sure that you're not flaring, you're not destroying the environment, you're managing your methane emissions the way you should to make sure that we're not contributing to climate change. Not that we're a major contributor to start with, but that we do our part. But there is no, the wider use of energy, when people think, so yes, you are growing renewables in certain sectors, but still fossil fuels on a global basis still constitute about 60% of electricity.
Yeah.
So yes, we talk about electric vehicles in the US, but they are powered by gas powered or coal powered electricity.
So you believe that this will still be around for longer than anticipated?
It is.
There's a drive towards, let's reduce.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we should, right? And so there is a lot of investment. So let me go back. I think when we're talking about the energy transition, we talk about net zero. We're talking about making sure that we're carbon neutral, that there's some activities that we cannot stop doing. We're not going to stop producing oil and gas, but we need to limit the impact on the environment. We need to invest in technologies where you can that will replace those fuels, and that's going to limit, and as you'll see that impact, limiting the consumption of oil in the 10-15 year period. But when it comes to gas, it's unlikely to do so for some time, and there are many other uses of gas, including for hydrogen as a feedstock for hydrogen and feedstock for other petrochemicals, that make sure that when you look at the projections of oil demand, of gas demand globally, that's going to continue to grow. But mm-hmm. there will be investments, and that those investments are accelerating, and the energy prices the energy crisis and the war in Ukraine has probably brought more focus to the need to invest heavily in carbon removal technologies and zero carbon energy technologies.
Where's Nigeria in all of this carbon removal, and where would this the Tinubu Shettima team take Nigeria to in 4 years and maybe eight?
Mm. So the candidate was quite clear on Tuesday about his the need to where he sits when it comes to energy transition. So, and let me articulate that in my own words, what I understood him to be saying. That Nigeria contributes, in fact, all of Africa contributes less than 3 or 4% of emissions. And that for Nigeria, our growth and development imperative, our energy poverty problems are just as important as climate ambitions. So what that means is that we will need to focus on providing energy with whatever resources we have in a responsible manner to the 90 million Nigerians who do not have access to electricity at the moment, who have to use charcoal and wood to power their homes and causing all kinds of pollution and environmental damage in the process, that he is going to use whatever resources we have responsibly to power the double-digit growth that we need. Mm-hmm. And that includes gas, but it also includes hydro, and it includes solar systems on a grid scale level, and also mini grids or interconnected grids and solar generation for rural areas and areas that are unconnected to the grid. But for him, the growth and development imperative is what he is more focused on than whether or not we're managing our climate ambitions. He's already outlined how we intend to manage our climate ambitions in the energy transition plan that the VP recently launched. We're going to reduce gas is the transition fuel in that program, mm-hmm. as outlined. It's going to be a core source of generation and provide base load generation for electricity until you can start to grow the share of renewables. And solar systems and mini grids are going to provide, be the bulk of the way we supplement the grid in areas that are not connected in rural areas.
Okay, let me take a very quick break. I see lots of comments on our live feed and everywhere, and the lines are also buzzing.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll talk about refineries. Also, this is also close to Nigerians. Just take a fasten your seatbelt to be back before you blink. Don't go away. Mm-hmm.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Okay, welcome back. This is 99.3 Nigeria Info. Campaign season has begun, and I've got a representative now from the team of the Tinubu Shettima campaign telling us about the plans for next year and why you should vote them. Now, before I head to the phone lines and take comments, I want to know regarding refineries. Now, I'm going to take it back to 2015 when President Buhari, who is a member of your party, the APC, promised to make our refineries work again. In fact, he promised to fix one per year. It's seven, almost 8 years down the line. Aside from the Warri refinery that's promised to start running by first half of next year, none of the others are functioning. Do you believe that Nigeria should revamp its refineries, and what will be the plan for the Tinubu Shettima team?
So let me talk about the plan for the Tinubu Shettima team and, potentially what's contributed to some of the challenges that you're seeing with the refinery. As like I said, it's been a difficult operating environment. And that's just not just for upstream oil and gas producers, but it is difficult to attract human capital and investments and mobilize teams to the Delta because of the general insecurity. And that has impacted projects in every sector, whether you're upstream or in the refineries. So how do you intend to go, how do you intend to move forward? As I've said, and the Tinubu and Shettima administration has talked about how it will, they have the track record in doing this, whether you're talking about their ability to reduce crime in Lagos and turn this into booming economy, or managing a vast territory like Borno State. So it's making sure they scale some of the learnings from that and implement and expand some of the security, the investments in security when it comes to technology, aerial technology, and all of those things to improve delivery of outcomes when it comes to the security apparatus, recruiting more, paying more for the Army and the Navy. But making sure you demand results in return for that. So when you come to they've also outlined a plan to make sure that we are self-sufficient in products, right? It is a bit of an anomaly to be one of the largest producers of oil on this continent and also be a largest importer of products.
Right.
And that is something that they have, they've clearly outlined the need for us to be self-sufficient in products, which means, there's refining capacity in Warri. Or at least the three refineries that were current, that were existing, so that those brownfield investments need to be unlocked. But you can't unlock it if you don't have the wider enabling environment for those investments. So that's why the focus will be on the macro point of what do we do to make sure that we have an independent judiciary, contract sanctity, predictable monetary and fiscal policies, all the things that investors, whether you're in refineries or in wells, are looking for so that you can mobilize that capital. So once you're able to do that, because you need to take a very business-friendly approach to ensure that capital flows so that you can reap the benefits for Nigerians. And that's the major thrust of that, making sure that they focus on the big macro pillars that need that investors need to be assured that it can earn a return in a stable environment. What do you need to? And then there's the Dangote refinery as well that is coming on stream soon enough that will add to that capacity. So you have the existing brownfield capacity plus the Dangote refinery that is going to add additional greenfield capacity to our refining. But it's been a challenging environment when it comes to the monetary policies and predictability of foreign exchange that impacts your ability and the pace at which you can invest.
Yeah, so usually when we talk about refineries, I've heard many times that Dangote Refinery is brought into the mix, but Dangote Refinery is private, right? To do the job. So can we reliably say that, because we've got Dangote Refinery, we're going to be spending less, essentially, because we've got a Dangote Refinery here? Is it not better if Nigeria actually does revive its own refineries and get it done?
Okay, so I think this is one of the other ways in which the Tinubu administration differentiates itself from other candidates. They understand what role government should play. And government cannot own every asset that is of benefit to Nigerians. We can't afford it. It's not how every other government does it. What your job is as a government is to facilitate investment, to create the environment that private sector find attractive to provide the services and goods that Nigerians want and can afford. So whether it's a Dangote refinery, whether it is a Warri refinery that is owned by the government or by you, the government's job.
I wish.
Exactly. The government's job isn't to insist, because when you overregulate, you scare off investors. You need to attract private capital to some businesses that can earn a return. We are paying more than we should be paying. So what the first thing that the candidate talked about was deregulating and removing the petroleum subsidy. That is a big obstacle to investments in that sector. When you have a regressive policy that has, when you have $7 trillion spent on subsidies versus investments in refining capacity or enabling environment to ensure that capital can flow into refining capacity for the benefit of Nigerians. Those are some of the things that this candidate has clearly outlined. He was clear. He said, is it fair that I have 5 cars and I pay the same price for petrol that an Okada driver pays for? It's not fair. He gets the bulk of that benefit. So that regressive policy that benefits mostly the elite and the oligarchs will be removed. And you are able, if you do a few of those things, like removing that subsidy, making sure that people who are in that sector, investors in that sector, are clear as to how they will be able to earn a return, investments will flow. And addressing the wider security.
Okay. Before I go to the phone line, so here's a tough question. The candidates that you speak for, the Tinubu Shettima team, they're a member of the APC that's been in governance for at least the past close to 8 years.
Yeah.
And many of these plans that we've discussed for the past over half an hour were also shown in the plans of the Buhari or Shimbajo team. Now, the question Nigerians would have is, if the APC was unable to deliver on many of these items in the past 7 years, why would the APC be trusted to do it for another term?
So, it depends on what they mean by delivery. So, the Petroleum Industry Act was passed by this administration.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's correct.
It is a key enabler of investments, and it's an important framework and a key enabler of investments flows into that sector. It's not perfect, but it is a start. And it had been in circulation for close to 20 years before that. They made it happen and invested. And so what the Tinubu Shettima administration is saying that is, for the things that have been delivered, they will implement, expand, improve upon, consult through consultative processes with the different stakeholders that it impacts. So can you trust them to deliver? Let me tell you what I would do if I, as an investor who spent a lot of time in the private sector and wants to see Nigeria go forward. I would first judge the content of what they've proposed. Will lower, if I deregulate power prices, will investments flow? If I deregulate gas prices, will investments flow to that? Are there benefits for Nigerians in terms of job creation and when investments flow into various sectors and we start diversifying our economy, as you mentioned before? Are there benefits for Nigerians, public sector outcomes in terms of our ability to generate income as a government to invest in education, in roads, in the physical infrastructure that these companies need to be able to for us to build broad-based prosperity for Nigerians? Then the next thing I'll go to is, does this candidate have the execution capacity? Does he have the ability to recruit talent that will help him deliver on these plans? Has he done so before? You make your call.
Now, the vibe, I mean, I get from all of these we've talked about is that there will be this, the team of the Tinubu Shettima would be driven largely by the private sector, by investment to allow the private sector thrive.
So let me tell you why this is. So governments don't create jobs. They facilitate the creation of jobs by the private sector. Mm-hmm. You work in Cool FM, you don't work for the government. There needs to be 15,000 Cool FMs. The government's job is to facilitate the creation of multiple businesses that grow, employ people, allow you to have a career that doesn't involve you having to exit Nigeria if you don't have to. If you want to, you're free to. But if you you don't have to, that's the job of the government. So their job is to facilitate investments into the private sector so that we can create jobs and opportunities for all Nigerians.
In the immediate moment, like you heard, you were smiling at the voice note I played just before we started. In the immediate moment, what Nigerians want is food on the table.
Correct.
They want to be able to afford food. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to pay their bills.
Correct.
Right, affordably.
Yes.
And we're far from that right now.
Correct.
Realistically.
Correct.
So what are the timelines that the Tinubu Shettima team is giving us to say, oh, if elected, in 1 year we're able to deal with this issue, deal with that issue, to make Nigerians feel a direct, tangible impact?
Correct. So one of the things that was outlined on Tuesday was what they will do, what will happen on the monetary policy. Mm-hmm. So one of the major impediments to investments and one of the major deterrents to investment here is, you know, the instability or unpredictability of the foreign exchange, and then also insufficient, right? If you wanted to access dollars, you couldn't access it because we're not earning enough revenue from the oil and gas sector so that we can defend our currency and make sure that people who want to change, who have brought in their investments in dollars, are able to take their money back out to the shareholders who've invested that money in dollars. So one of the first things that was outlined that day was the unification of the foreign exchange window. That's important. And it's also important for the average Nigerian, because when you go to the market, yesterday I told them to go and buy something and they said, you know, toilet paper, it's gone to 14,000 naira, right? So if, why? Because we depend a lot of the inputs into that, even when we're manufacturing, a lot of the inputs into the different things that you and I use every day are dependent on what the foreign exchange rate is. So that's one of the first points that they've decided to, they said, we'll target that within the first 12 months.
How would you be able to achieve this?
Unifying it. So the major difference between this candidate, right, and the other candidates is one, experience, right? He has actually done it. And he has a track record of doing it. We are in Lagos, one of the biggest economies in sub-Saharan Africa, because of what the vision he had, and more importantly, his ability to execute on that vision and to sustain it through different teams and his leadership. So that is the how. It's been done before. Again, like I said, you can prosecute many other things, but you know, track record is there for you to objectively judge.
So for those who are not fans, remember the campaigns, a lot of it is like marketing, right?
Yeah.
You know, there are people who don't know for whom to cast their vote. So this is like a convincing pitch, if you want.
Correct.
So tell us some of the things that these candidates did in Lagos tangibly that Nigerians can relate to and say, because of this and that, you can trust your vote to the Tinubu Shettima team.
So Lagos was crime ridden when, you know, in 1999, you couldn't really drive after a certain time. Armed robbery was, you had armed robbers operating in homes for 4 hours, 5 hours a night. You know, people actually exited the country at that time. there was no infrastructure. You spent hours in traffic. I remember how long it used to take for me to get from Ikoyi to Chevron. You would spend hours. So the level of investment in infrastructure. So first, the investment and creative ways to build institutions that took people off the street and engaged them productively and made them part of the security apparatus to make sure that lives and property were secure, bolstered confidence from investors to say, you know what, if that's going to happen and I'm going to be able to bring talent in from different parts of the world to help me deliver and also help, you know, attract Nigerians into this sector because their safety is assured, that helps. So, and he did that. And Lagos is, you know, we take it for granted now and we've forgotten what it was like 20 years ago. Infrastructure, the level, you see bridges, you see roads. That's important to move people, to move products, to move services. That level of investment is not to be taken for granted. The amount of fiscal income that Lagos generates, its IGR, compare that to what it was 20 years ago. Could it be more? Maybe. But who else has done it? Who else has done what has been done here in Lagos?
Now that we talked about IGR, mm-hmm. Now it's time to look at some of the complaints that Nigerians have made regarding your candidate, which might, you know, cast a shadow on mm-hmm. his power to do or is taking his word for it. Now, some have alleged, I hope you're able to disprove this, that tax in Lagos being generated is going to your candidate, the Tinubu, especially because he, as former governor, there have been a lot of talk around, oh, his money, there's so much money going to Tinubu and his family, including the Lekki toll gate, including tax, you know. Can you tell us about this?
No, because I don't know how to respond to gossip. And things that are not substantiated, right? I don't know how to do that. I can talk to the issues. I can talk to the fact that I can see a correlation between the investments and the fiscal income that Lagos State generates. I see a correlation with investments in physical infrastructure, in healthcare systems. Go to Lagos State hospitals. Some of them are better than, you know, labs, private labs in this country, right? So I can speak to the fact that there is evidence of investments and proper use. And you look at, they just commissioned a deep sea port. I can see a correlation between fiscal income and investments in Lagos State. Let me be clear. If you're trying to elect pastors, you go to church. When we're talking about, for a candidate, what I look for is competence. Can you do the work? I don't necessarily have to like you. I don't have to think that you're the best, you're most eloquent. You have to judge people on what they do. Have they delivered what they've said they've delivered before? Make your call on that. If someone says he hasn't done it, if someone says he's done it, check your facts. Has he actually done that? Or is he giving you, is he making anybody can write a manifesto. Anyone can do that. Anyone can come up on the podium and say all kinds of things and make all kinds of promises. What I do as a voter, as an independent person, is judge whether or not that person has done it before. Where has he actually done it? And that gives me comfort. Does he have the execution capacity? Is he demonstrating that he will do that by identifying the right talent and the right people to help him execute on his vision?
All right, I'll ask you one final question. Look at the phone lines. I'm sure they're practically upset. I haven't taken any call or comment. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to ask you this one question and then I'll go to their comment. Would you like Nigerians who listen to you to divorce your candidates, Tinubu and Shettima, away from what many might term as a failures of the APC in the past 7 years? Or would you like them to regard this as a continuum and possibly a way to make over or, you know, what might have been lost in the past 7 years?
So, listen, not everything has gone right over the last 7 years, but there are some things that have gone right. I've talked about what happened in my sector. That PIA passing under this current administration is a big plus. So I would say that for where, you know, trust that, you know, for the things that have gone well on this administration, that there'll be an expansion and an improvement. And they're taking the feedback on things that you need to improve on. You don't score 100% in governance. It's not a chemistry test. So you do the best you can with the circumstances you're given, and that this administration will improve upon the things that went well and close the gaps that needs to be closed going forward.
All right. Let's go to the phone lines. 0700-993-993-993. You know what the rules are. You've got to be practically civil in your comment. And you have 30 seconds. So you need to be asking me questions, not just make a blanket comment. That's why I took my time to ask as many questions as you might have wanted to. So 0700-993-993-993. Your name, where you're calling from, and your question. If you do not have a question, leave the line for others to call in. Okay. You please call again. Good morning. Hello.
Hello, Imo. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Alex here. I have 1 minute, right?
You don't have 1 minute. You have 30 seconds.
I'm going to run.
Yeah, go
now,
ahead.
The first thing is this. That person there in your studio could easily be you, me, or anybody who is good at what they do. Okay? It could be a business, show on your segment. Right? A lot is dependent, according to her, a lot of what we do is dependent on Forex. This is somebody who said that civil servants don't need to worry about the price of foreign exchange because they get paid in Naira, right? Now, if you're this good, frankly, I'll be advising you to run for the office of the president. No. Let's even face it. If you're this good, you should be running for the office of the president. Your principal is a climate skeptic. That's a fact. He has expenses at that function on that day. And now you're talking about, brilliant climate action, energy efficiency, and all that. I don't buy it.
All right. 30 seconds. Response to that?
Thanks for the compliment, but I work for the principal, and a lot of the things that I'm espousing are exactly what's articulated on Tuesday. So I'll encourage you to read that. And I think, because someone doesn't say things in the way that you want them to say, doesn't make them a climate skeptic. He acknowledged climate change is a problem. He acknowledged that we have a climate resilience problem in Nigeria. We don't contribute to climate change. Please check the data. You will see that the data supports that. We're not a major contributor to climate change, but we are disproportionately impacted by it. And so, should we be overinvesting in things that we are not a major contributor to and will not make? You don't invest in things that you're not going to generate significant outcomes from. He said, listen, my initial focus is making sure that I use the clean and renewable resources within our own territory to make sure that we are energy sufficient and that we can afford the energy and that we're doing so sustainably. Okay. That's what he said, not denying climate change.
Okay, so I've got a lot of comments here, a lot of them, so I'll just wrap them up together. Asking you to reintroduce yourself, because they say that a lot of our conversation is going towards the energy sector. They've got questions in, a wide range of other places, so I'll let you do the honors.
Oh, and reintroduce myself.
Yes, please.
Oh, I am Olu Verhayan. I'm an energy expert and I'm working on the Tinubu and Shetima campaign team.
She's an energy expert. All right. Good morning. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Good morning.
You need to speak up for me and make it quick.
Hello. Good morning. My name is Joseph.
Can you speak into your phone and go ahead?
All right. So I want to ask your guest if our principal will consider the impact of removing subsidy on one hand of the energy space and also increasing tariffs for power, considering that we already have over 20% inflation right now, the exchange rate is crazy, the poverty in the country is something else.
Yeah, thank you very much.
No, very good question. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. This is why this has to be carefully orchestrated. So you don't create unnecessary shocks. So let's talk about those subsidies, right? We talked about subsidies in the power sector, which is essentially what we're doing when we don't have tariffs that reflect the cost. In the power sector, what you're doing there is making sure that it's the people who, if you look at the people who are mostly connected to the grid, most of them can afford to pay more because they're paying more currently for alternative sources. So if you're currently paying maybe close to 200 naira per kilowatt hour for diesel, but you're only paying 65 naira to the disco, 65 naira per kilowatt hour to the disco, is there room in there? Because truly your blended cost of power is higher than what you're paying the disco. Is there room to move that price into a range where it's either at the level that you're paying now for blended power or just below it because you're gaining efficiencies with scale? So those are some of the ways you carefully orchestrate it.
However, there is a class of people that do not fall within this category.
Yeah, I was coming to that in a minute, right? So that's for the regret. So that's for dealing with the high end people users. Who can afford more. Now, for the people who are not connected, obviously, and that's what the candidate outlined, that, you know, we need to be able to find ways and more efficient ways to direct our subsidies to those people, whether it's through different schemes of directly transferring the money they need to them, so that we're not, instead of, you know, creating an overall subsidy that Olu and you and Wemimo benefit from, why don't we make sure that Olu and Wemimo are paying what they can, and then for the folks who can't, we're directing the subsidies directly to them and transferring, so that you control affordability.
So there will still be subsidy, but just redirected.
Reduced, right? Because you're not. You make sure that it's better targeted to the people that actually need it.
Okay, yeah? Let me attempt to take some comment from Skype. I'm sure they are overlapping. We allow callers who are outside Nigeria to join us over Skype. Kehinde Oyemakinwa is online. Hello.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. You've got 30 seconds. Make it quick for me. Where are you calling from?
First, I would like to make comment that I can't hold you accountable for what you are saying. You are not going to be the president, for God's sake. First, let's hear from your candidate, at least at the basic level of explanation. You are an energy expert. You almost sound believable. Now, you talked about what has Tinubu done in Lagos. Please, if you have time, kindly tune in to Shukudi by 5 p.m. to listen to the bad roads in Lagos, agrorism, and other things.
Many thanks. Let's get your response to that quickly. We're running out of time.
Yes, the candidate did outline, and I'm actually just expatiating and providing details around what he said. So he outlined some of those points. He can't be on every radio station. He has to use his team to talk about different elements and the details of his plan. But these are his ideas, and also ideas of his team that he has taken on board. Good leaders.
So can Nigerians take your word to be his?
There's nothing I've said that is not in line with his manifesto.
Good. Agberoism, he talks about that in Lagos State. That's how agberoism became a word.
Agberoism.
So I've heard that so often that I can rest in it. She's looking like, what are you doing?
Agberoism. No, I think I know what he means. Yes, that there is, with regular transport. I understand this. Right. Yes, so they inflate the transportation prices quite significantly. I know what he's talking about.
An extortion of drivers. Towns.
Yes, exactly. So yes, there needs to be improved accountability, improved law enforcement, an agreement. Again, this is the person who has done it before. And we'll do it again. And if there's, if there are gaps to be closed, you don't have perfection in governance. If there are gaps to be closed, there's room for continuous improvement. And do you trust this candidate to do so?
All right. Well, let's take some more calls before we head off. Hello. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Thank you for calling. Your name and your question. 30 seconds.
Okay. Please. I'm Oji. I'm calling from Awuyaya.
Go ahead.
Part of Lagos. Please, I wanted to ask that why is it that you are giving people 30 seconds?
Because we don't have time. Do you have a question or you want to argue with me?
I'm not arguing with you.
You are actually wasting that 30 seconds. Good morning, hello?
Yeah, well, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Yeah, Jonathan is my name. Now, I want to take it from your guest that he wants to grow GDP by double digits. Mm-hmm. That meaning he wants to grow the power, our megawatts, up to 40,000. I want to agree. Now, I want her to tell me, we have 4 years of one tenor, 8 years of two tenor. What's the timeline she's setting to achieve all this?
All right, thank you very much. Is it 4,000 megawatts we should expect?
No. No, so growing. So when you say you're going to grow GDP double digit, it doesn't mean everything in the economy doubles. So we talked about installed capacity. Yeah. Current installed capacity, 16 gigawatts, we get less than 5 of it.
Yeah, 5,000.
So if you make the investments, if you allow appropriate cash flows by making sure the tariffs are cost reflective on the gas generation side, as well as the distribution end, then you solve the commerciality of investments on the distribution side and on the generation side.
Do we have timelines for this?
I think they've said within 12 months to implement some of the elements in the PIA that need to be closed. It's outlined in the manifesto that within 12 months you would resolve some of the issues around pricing, whether it's on the power end and or on the gas end. 12 months for those things.
All
and
right.
Then for investments, that takes a little bit longer. Investments in the transmission.
Chike Aswoha is online on Skype. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning. Where are you calling from and your question?
I'm calling from Israel.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Please, I see that the guest that you have there, it's either she's not...
What is your question? I really do not have time. I'm serious about it. What's your question?
I just want to advise her because I don't think she is seeing the reality on ground.
Okay. On which of the issues, so that I can ask about that?
I don't know how Tinubu will just handle all these things that she is outlining right there. How? That the how is what I want to know.
All right, many thanks. I'm going to take one more on that and let you respond. Hello? Hello?
Hello.
Good morning. Yes, welcome. What's your name and your question?
I would just like to say that, you know, I think she herself does not believe what she's saying. That's all I can say.
Why do you think so? Oh, and she's gone. Okay, so do you believe everything you said is achievable in 4 years?
No, not in 4 years.
Okay.
So some of these things can be done in 4 years, but you can do a lot of the things that have been outlined. The gentleman earlier said, you know, how do you, what do you need to do? That some of them are simple, but none of those things are easy because they're stakeholders, they're vested interests
that have
you know, gained a stronghold by the inefficiencies of our system that need to be taken on. And those stakeholder engagements tend to take a longer period. So they've highlighted the point. So the Tinubu and Shettima team have highlighted things that can be done within 12 months. Unification of foreign exchange rate is a policy.
You think that can be done in 12 months?
Unification of foreign exchange can be done within 12 months. Unification of foreign exchange windows, that you can do that within 12. It is not an easy thing to do.
What should Nigeria expect the rate to become in
12
months?
Maybe
an average?
They will collapse it within a window. So, you know, so within a 5% window and make sure that it's predictable. No economy tells you what their currency
unless
is going to be
floating.
Worth. And there's no fully free-floating currency anywhere in the world either. You know, the central bank, your monetary policy helps you manage the relative strength of your currency vis-a-vis inflation and also vis-a-vis your balance of trades. So you always do that. You're always managing it. It's an art. But what needs to be different is that it's a transparent process in which you do that so people can investors understand it, that you make sure that it's a predictable and consistent and that you can demonstrate and model over a 4-year period so that people start to build confidence, rebuild their confidence in Nigeria and say, okay, these people have said they would do this, they did. And they've done it consistently. And for those few things that we've said, like unification of the foreign currency, that, you know, you need to deregulate and liberalize the power sector to make sure that Nigerians who can pay for power are paying what they should be paying for it so that you can attract investment. And you subsidize for those who can't. And make sure, because that's the only way you free up the income from where it shouldn't be going and make sure that you're directing it to the people. So you reduce the overall amount, but you're making sure that it's better. The what's left